Amen. Yeah, that's a dollar waiting on a dime. Yeah, praise God. It's good. It's so good to see you. Man, I'm just absolutely blessed to be here again today to stand and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every chance you get to tell the truth, the love and the grace of God, I encourage you to do it. Share that love with people that are around you. Share your love, what God has given you, and do it deeply. Amen. Tonight we'll be in Judges chapter 4. We're going to look at one of the many prophetesses in the Word of God. This one's name is Deborah. And so as we get into the Word of the Lord, well, I'll kind of back up just a little bit and let you know that it had been quite some while. We're in Judges chapter 4. And Israel had been living in peace for 40 years. That means 80 years. The prophet or the judge before that, his name, it's Ehud. He's the left-handed prophet, right? And he put a sword on his right hand and he stabbed the fat king, okay, and the sword was sucked up into his belly and all the stuff flowed out and stuff like that. We read about that last week. This week we're going to be looking at a different kind of a thing. It's Deborah, amen? But she is a woman of the Lord, and it's God uses everybody. If you'll be willing to be used, God will use you. And God used many women in the Word of God. There are no less than 10 women prophetesses in the Word of God that are named as prophets. And we'll get over into that here in a little bit. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get our new study underway. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for you being faithful in your Word. Lord, as we're going over the book of Judges, I'm seeing that you don't change. Father, that your rules, your ways are always the same. Your love, your compassion, your driving force never changes. Father, you've always called us to be holy and righteous, a people that are set apart for your good work. But Lord, we often, way too often, go our own way, Lord Jesus. And you do things to nations that sin against you, and you do whatever it takes to call them back. And Lord, I thank you for that. I know that you're faithful and you're just. And Father, we can put our full trust and wait in you. Lord, I pray that even America, this nation that we're in, that the people who are your people would call out to you for mercy. Father, that we would set apart our lives to be your tools. Lord, that you would move in your body, your group of believers, and cause us to revive, to come back to life, and to walk in righteousness. And Lord, whatever it takes, we're willing. And we are willing, Father, for you to do those things in and through and around us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And it starts out in chapter 4. And the children of Israel, again, amen, again, the children of America, again, one more time. Here we go. We're going down the same road. Nothing has changed. Again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehu was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in that place of the Gentiles. They lived in a town I can't pronounce. It's over where the Gentiles were living. Okay, it seems strange, or actually it's not strange. If we look at mankind, there's a strength from the darkness of the world that draws us into it. And it's not that we purposely go out of our way to sin, but when we have a chance, we tend to go to our flesh more than we go to the Lord. Amen? And Israel is just a picture of that, and we still have that problem today. You know, I know if I don't keep my flesh in check, that's where I go. Amen. I've got to continually look at what the Word of God says, compare that word against my life. And if something is out of line, which it's me, I need to make an adjustment in my life to get back right with God. Right. And humankind, we're bent to go away from the Lord. It's a draw. It's a call that brings us into unrighteousness, not into righteousness. That's not the way it has to be, but that's the way it is. We're born with a sin nature. And who knows, it's easier to sin than to walk in righteousness. Amen? It is so much easier to go the way of the world, to go the way of the flesh, than it is to go into righteousness. In fact, the Word of God tells us that we need to crucify our flesh daily. That we need to bear our cross daily before the Lord, coming before Him with an honesty. God, I cannot do this without You. Will You help me? Will You lead me? Will You guide me? Will You fill me with Your Spirit that I might not sin against the law, Lord? And then we got to make a covenant with our heart, with our eyes, with our bodies, that whatever the Bible says, that's what I'll do. Well, you'll notice that Israel, over and over again, doesn't do this. In fact, you don't got to look at Israel too hard. Look in the mirror. Amen? Because over and over, that's what we do. All right? But God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of love and He's full of compassion. But He's also full of justice. Amen? He will not let His people get away with that kind of stuff. No chastening is pleasant for the moment. Amen? But its end result is profitable. All right? It's good for you. It doesn't feel good, but it does a great thing for you. And so here we see Israel again sinning against God. And God raises up a Gentile ruler, a Jabin. To come, and the leader of his host, his name is Sisera, his general was named Sisera. And in verse 3, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So for 80 years they had peace, for 80 years things were going good, then the judge dies, and then within no amount of time at all, the people start sinning again. God raises up a Gentile nation to come against them and starts putting oppressing laws, and really he's ruling them. He rolled in 900 tanks. That's what it would be today. Like if we saw tanks rolling down Caledonia and our next president says, well, this is what it's going to be, and the oppression comes on the people because the people of God didn't stand for righteousness when we should have, right? And so God says, all right, since you didn't do that, you're going to get your just reward. You're going to get what you asked for. You want a king? We'll give you a king. But that king's going to take from your crops. That king's going to take from your children. That's what God told Samuel when the people of Israel said, I wanted a king. Right? God said, I'll give you a king. You ain't going to like it. I'll give you one, though. Don't worry about Samuel. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Right? That's what the Lord said to Samuel as he was facing Israel. America, we've asked for the mess we're about ready to get. We asked for it in a double portion. We didn't ask for it once. We said we want him twice. No, we want him again. We want it worse. So, hey, folks, just embrace it. Just embrace it. Because God's going to do this thing. And I tell you what, the end result is going to be better. Because I think the church is going to grow through this thing. Just like Israel, we're going to see Israel coming out of this mightier than what they went into it. Amen? They're going to come out on top of this, not on the bottom of it. When they cry out to the Lord, when they get tired of the oppression of the government that's on top of them, they get tired of the pressing down and telling them that they can't do and what they ought to do. They can't preach, they can't sacrifice, they can't do this. And the tanks come into the town and they're tired of being oppressed by the government. Then they cry out unto the Lord. Amen. I tell you what, church, if we cry out, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. Amen. Praise God for that. And something else I like, God doesn't use regular things to deliver people. Amen. The way I would deliver something or somebody isn't the way that God would do it. And I thank God for that because His ways are better than mine. Amen. He's higher. He thinks different. He has a completely different mindset than what I have. And God will do things that only He can do. And glory to Him for that. But God chastens those whom He loves, and He loves Israel. And when they sinned against Him, He rose up this king, and that king had chariots of iron. And for 20 years, they pressed into Israel. And there was a lady in that day and time. Her name was Deborah. She was a prophetess. And there's a kind of neat things about prophetesses. Deborah, she was a prophetess, and there are at least 10, and I have a few of them mentioned down here in Isaiah 8 and 3. Isaiah's wife, did you know she was a prophetess? It's called, she was a prophetess. Deborah was, how about Anna? Remember when Jesus was born and there is the old woman, Anna, and she was serving in Luke chapter 2. She was serving in the synagogue daily. She was a prophetess and she came and she talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and how she had waited for his coming up. And then again, there were four daughters of Philip in Acts 21. Those were all prophetesses. They were women that God was using mightily. Now, it doesn't say that they were preachers, they were prophetesses, all right? They didn't hold a pulpit, but God still used them, amen? And so I hear it from a lot of these lady preachers that I have a chance to talk to from time to time, saying, well, look at Deborah, she was a prophetess. And yes, she was, but a prophet is not a pastor, amen? And there's a reason that God gave the pulpit to men, to be pastors. And we can get into all that. It's a different story. But God does use ladies. And I praise God that there are women here, you know, that God is using mightily. And I salute you. Praise God. I think there's more spiritual women than there are spiritual men. And we're going to see that was a problem in Israel at the time. Deborah was a woman who sought after the Lord. And God says, since you're looking out for me, I'm going to anoint you a prophetess. And I'm going to cause you to rise up above all the other ladies around you. I'm going to cause you to rise up above all the males around you. Now that God wouldn't have used a male, but I don't think there's a male man available. Amen. To deliver the message of the Lord. And so anyhow, and Deborah, she was a prophetess in verse 4. She was the wife of this other Lapiduth. Anyhow, and she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. Pretty nice to live under a tree of your own name. Where do I live? I live under Deborah's tree. Yeah, and so anyhow, that's where she was at. Deborah's tree in Ramoth at Bethel near the in the Mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to judge up to her for judgment. And so when Israel would get in trouble, they had some problems going on. They'd come up and she was, here come the judge. It's Miss Deborah. She would do that. Something that the Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Not saying that women are foolish at all. That's not what I'm saying. But he uses the unusual things. Amen. And in Israel's time to have a woman to be a judge, that was an unusual thing. It wasn't something that happened all the time. They weren't really high in the political chain. Right. And so this woman being a tool of the Lord would be an unusual thing in its time. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things of the mighty in verse 28. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that which are. And verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So God uses abnormal stuff to do supernatural things. Something that we don't think would work. Amen. We've already come through Exodus and we came through Genesis and we saw God use some pretty unusual stuff, right? We've seen men and Joshua marching around a city for 7 days, right? And then the walls. That's unusual. That doesn't happen every day. All right. We saw Moses coming up to the Red Sea. Right. The army of Pharaoh was behind him. There's a pillar of fire and a cloud and all that kind of stuff. And then the people start freaking out, getting a little bit scared. And Moses says, don't worry about it. Move forward. Wait a second. What? You want me to walk out into the sea and drown myself? Moses said, move forward. Then he raised up a stick and God sent a breeze, a wind that came out of the east and it parted the Red Sea and they walked through on dry. Unusual things to confound the wise men. Amen. Unusual stuff. God used it then. He's still using it now. Look at me. It's unusual that I'd be able to do this. I'm not a smart man. Amen. I'm not a highly educated fellow. I can't say all these hard words in the Bible. I don't know how to pronounce those names. right? But God still, if you're willing to be used, God will use you. I believe that there's some Deborahs out there in our congregation. There are some women that God wants to use mightily for His glory. I believe that there's some men out there. If they would step up and you'd be the man that God has called you to be, this town would not be the town that it is. Amen. But we're cowering behind whatever we're afraid of and not willing to do the things that God has called us to. We're going to look at Barack here in just a minute. Not Obama, but a different Barack. Barack, or whatever you want to call him. And so she was judging in verse 5 and verse 6. And she sent and she called Barack, the son of Adamin, out of Kadesh Naphtali. And said unto him, "Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded?" Wait a second. Now, Deborah is a prophetess. She hears from the Lord. Barack is not a prophet. He's just a fella out there. He's just a man. Now she says, "Hey, Barack, hasn't God been talking to you? Hasn't God already commanded you to do something? Hasn't God told you to stand up and put on your man boots and go and collect 10,000 men? Hasn't God already told you to do that? Well, you need a woman to come tell you? That's what I'm here for." But Barack had already heard from the Lord. Because she says, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, "Go and draw toward Mount Tabor and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebedinian anyhow, whatever how you want to pronounce that, I can't do it. And I will draw thee to the river of Kishon. And Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver them into thine hand." So God had already been talking to this guy. Deborah knew that God was talking because she was a prophetess. She knew what the Lord had said, but God had already put it on this man's heart to do what he ought to do. But he wasn't manly enough to get out and do it. He said, I knew that God told me to do that. But, you know, it would be hard for me to do that, you know. It's too tough for me. I'll tell you what, sweetheart. I'll go if you go with me. All right? That's what he says. Now, he doesn't say, "Sweetheart, I'm bringing this down to Curtis level." Okay? I can lift it back up. And he comes and he talks to Deborah. And she said, in verse 8, "And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me," all right, "if you go with me, then I'll go. But if you won't go with me, I ain't going." All right, listen, Deb. "If you go with me, I'm going to go." All right. Now, God didn't say that was a thing that needed to happen. God said, "Hey, Barak, get up and go, and I'll fight for you. I'm going to deliver this army, all these chariots, into your hand." But he wasn't gutsy enough to do it because God called him to. He said, "Wait, now that I've been confronted by a woman, I'll go if you go." Now, this is no regular woman. Don't get me wrong. She is anointed by God. She's a prophetess. All right. She knows the word of God. The Lord speaks through her to judge Israel about what's right and wrong. And so she knew what was going on. The Lord had already spoken to her and called out of all of the men, out of all of the tribes of Israel, this one guy, Barak. OK, called him out of a pretty obscure tribe. Right. I mean, I know that this is one of the tribes of Israel, but I don't think it's a big one. It's not like Judah. Right. And so he calls him out of this tribe and he says, "Well, if you'll go with me, then I'll go." And she said, "Well, sure, I'll go with you." In verse 9, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. The Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and she went with Barak to Kadesh. All right. So she says, "Hey, listen, Barak, I'll go with you, but I'm going to go with you. But I want you to know this, since you wouldn't go on your own. All right. You're going to fight this battle. God's going to win it for you. He's going to use an unusual thing to win this battle. All right. You and your 10,000 men, we're going to gather those because God said we could gather them. And I'm going to bring y'all into this battle. I'll stand with you. I'll go with you. But I want you to know that even in the midst of this battle, you ain't going to get none of the honor, none of the glory." I like that. I don't want none of the glory if God's going to do it. Amen. That's why God uses the foolish things of the world. Amen. That's why God uses. We have these treasures in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. We have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. The excellency of the power of God is used in broken vessels like us, crackpots. Amen. And that He can get all the glory. I like it. I'm glad we ain't polished people here. We're just regular folks willing to do what the Lord has called us, that He can get all the glory. I tell you what, when God raises up this people and they do what God tells them to do, when we finally get off of our pews and get in the street and start doing what God has called us to do, to God be the glory. Man, there's going to be some shaking, earth-shaking stuff going on. The enemies that are coming against us, they're going to be like this Sisera king right here, or the leader. Their chariots are going to get stuck in the mud. Amen. That's what's going to happen. And so anyhow, and then Barak, he calls all the folks up in verse 10, and they with the 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now, Herob, the Kenanite, which was of the children of Horeb, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenanites and pitched his tent in the plain of that place, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, had gone up to Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Horishiath of the Gentiles into the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, go up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak, he went out, and he took from Tabor the 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his host with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera lighted down off of his chariot, and he fled on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Horish of the Gentiles. And all of the hosts of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Praise God. Amen. God had already, he saw the fight coming up. God had already lifted up a deliverer. He already talked to Barak. He had already told Deborah to call Barak that she could encourage him. Be a man. Come on, put on your man shoes. Let's get out here and do this. Everybody need a little pat on the back, sometimes a foot in the other side, to get you to go, right? And so this Deborah, she did that. She said, listen, I am a prophetess of the Lord. I know what God has told you. I know that you need to get this thing going because God's already won the battle for you. You just ain't, you haven't gotten up and done it yet. Oh, but when he got up and done it, look, there's not a man that was able to stand before him. Those 900 chariots, they were worthless. Absolutely worthless. 900 chariots of iron. And they could not stand against the 10,000 men of the Lord. You know, the men who would go out and fight the fight of the Lord. And so anyhow, how be it in verse 17, Sisera, he fled away on foot to the tent of Jeriel, the wife of Heder, the Kenanite. For there was peace between Jabekin, the king of Hezra, and the house of Hebor, the Canaanite. And Jeriel went out to meet Sisera, and she said unto him, turn in, my Lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. Okay, she put a blanket over him. She knew that he had been in a fight. Now, you got to figure, he'd been running for a while. It doesn't say how far he had ran. But there was a battle going on, and he had been fighting. Okay, so I'm sure he had some mud and some blood and some guts on him, stuff like that, because he'd been in the middle of a war, right? He had been fighting with 10,000 Israelites empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. All right, he gets away, he starts running away, he goes to this lady's tent, and he says, woo, hey, chicky-poo, let me in. Let me come on in. She says, all right, I'll let you in. She took a mantle. He came into her house, into her tent, and she covered him up, made him feel safe. Amen? And so he turned in into her tent, and she put a mantle over him, verse 19. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk, and she gave him a drink and covered him. Now, He didn't ask for a hard drink. He didn't ask for a shot of whiskey. He didn't ask for nothing like. He just asked for some water. She said, I'm going to give you better than water. I'm going to give you a little milk. You want water? I'm going to up it a little bit. I'm going to give you something that's going to satisfy you, give you a little bit of strength back, going to lull you in. I tell you guys, look out. Oh, when you're running away from the fight, all right, this just came to me, so hold on to this. When you're running away from the fight, right, you don't want to fight no more. You're running away and you come into the tent and it feels comfortable to you. You get covered up with a mantle. You get a little bit, you get your face washed a little bit, get your feet clean a little bit. And she says, let me give you some milk. Let me just calm you down, son. Take a deep breath. I'm with you. You're safe here. But remember, you've been fighting against God this whole time. You're safe here. And so he took his comfort there and he ended up taking a dirt nap, taking a nap and laying down anyhow. And again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent. And this is verse 20. And it shall be, if any man doeth come and inquire of me, of thee, and saying, is there a man here? That thou shalt say no. And Jerel, Habor's wife, I guess she agreed to it. Anyhow, so Habor, his wife, took a nail of the tent, and she took a hammer in her hand, and she went softly into him and smote the nail into his temple and fastened him to the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. I think that extra, that little bit was just extra there. Now, wait a second. Guys, sometimes you can be lulled into a sleep. But beware, you might have a tent spike in your head. All right. By a woman. All right. Nevertheless. Now, she is a tool of the Lord and she was doing what the Lord had told her. As she was she's going to be the one that gets all the glory of the victory of the battle. She wasn't even involved in the battle. You know what she did for this battle? She invited the enemy into her tent. OK, she trusted the Lord God of Israel. She gave him milk. She was kind to him. Then she took a tent spike and drove it through his head, nailed him to the ground. I see you. I see you. I see all the ladies going, oh, yeah, hoorah. And so anyhow, that's what she did. And then she took a hammer. She nailed him. And verse 22. And behold, Barak pursued Sisera, and Jeroel came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show you the man that you're seeking. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lied dead, and with a nail in his temples, went right straight through his temples, chunk, right there. And God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until the day he had destroyed the king of Canaan. So the battle went on. That wasn't the end of the fight, but it kept going on. You look at the heroes of the story, and in verse 5, I'll just read this out to you. It won't take long. And again, we're going to have, I don't know, there's some stuff here to talk about. And after, like any time there's a good battle and it gets over, it gets finished, you know, there's a victory song. Amen? Remember some of the victory songs from World War II? There weren't any from the Korean or the Vietnam War, but World War II had some great victory songs that came out of it. Trying to think of that. It'll come to me in a minute. But he wrote a lot of musicals and stuff like that. Who? Gershwin. Yeah, absolutely. And he wrote a lot of good songs about the victories that happened in World War II. But anyhow, you're right. And so, and even when King Saul and David, when David had gone to battle with King Saul and then David was winning more, they said Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his tens of thousands. So there's always these songs of the victors. And so after all this battling and stuff was through, the people, they wrote a song, and it's a pretty long song. Don't know how it went, but it goes, I don't know the melody, but it kind of goes like this. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear ye, O kings, and give an ear, O ye princes, even I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises unto the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out to Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped the clouds as drops of water, and the mountains melted before the Lord, even that Sinai before the Lord God of Israel, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anathah, in the days of Jeriel, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. The inhabitants of the valley ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, and I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Man, that's just think about that. When Israel chose new gods, war was in the gates. Pastor that spoke here this morning spoke about that. When we start worshiping other gods besides the one God, the one true God, the God who founded this nation, the God Jesus Christ, this nation was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we move away from that and start worshiping other gods, expect war to be at the gates. All right? Expect that. So anyhow, the Lord spoke, and she's writing this, they chose new gods in verse 9. My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on the white asses and that set in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of the archers and the places of the drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down into the gates. Awake, awake, O Deborah, awake, utter a song, rise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, son of Ebedon. And he made him have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. And so it's just going over this fight that they had. There's no sense in me reading all this here to you. Y'all got a Bible? Read it when you go home. Amen. It's something that you ought to read. You ought to look at this. It's just going back over the very same battle that we read in chapter 4, only it's going back over it in rhyme. Okay, it's a Hebrew rhyme. He says in verse 20, they fought in heaven and the stars of their courses fought against Sisera, and the river of Kedeshon swept them away. The ancient river, the river of Kedeshon, O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. And it's just talking about the battle. And verse 24, blessed above women shall be Jerel, the wife of Heber the Canaanite. Be blessed, she shall be above all women in the tent. Why do you think she is called blessed above all women in the tent? Because she killed him. It took some courage to do that. You know, it really did. She wasn't just killing a regular guy. She was killing the general of the king of the Canaanites. And there was a peace treaty at that time between the king of the Canaanites and her tribe. All right. So she was going against all convention. All right. She was going against all convention. And she did something that God had called her to do. And it was a hard thing to do. I don't know if you've ever tried to take a tent stake and drive it through your enemy's head, but it's probably something you got to think about for a minute. You know, it's just something to be said about that. But she did it. You know, Deborah, she had to be quite the woman of faith. I mean, she was judging Israel and all the things that had to be done. And then the Lord said, hey, you got to talk to Barak. Okay, you got to go talk to this guy because I've been talking to him. He ain't listening to me. You, lady, go over there and you, prophetess, you go over there and you talk to him. Encourage him to do the right thing. And if you need to, go with him. Yeah, so he came. He heard the word of the Lord. He was convicted in his heart. I'm sure he would have been. I mean, when my wife reminds me of things I should have done, it kind of gets me, you know. Yeah, I know I should have done that. You know, I should have gone that way. I should have listened to you. You know, I know what I needed to do. I just didn't do it, you know. And, you know, out of loving kindness, she says, I'll go with you. I'll hold your hand while you did this stupid thing, you know. And so she's done this. She's walked that walk with me many a time. And she has, praise God for my Deborah, right? And so anyhow, God uses ladies throughout the Word of God. All right, we're not going to get into the next chapter and the rest of chapter 5 there. It's just rehashing the same battle. The moral of the story here, men, first of all, get up and do what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be the leader, the head. You are. You're supposed to be that. And listen to your wives, because they're supposed to come along beside you and to be that helpmeet. Amen? They are your helpmeet. They help you to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, I could not do the things that I do without my wife properly. Let me put it that way. I couldn't do it right. I mean, she fills the spot, and she's a lot more compassionate and kind and spells words right and stuff like that. You know, she fixes my spelling and letters and all that kind of stuff. She's useful for the ministry. Amen. And if I'll listen to her more often, I'll be a lot less trouble. Amen. But if I would follow God first and foremost, she wouldn't have to tell me that stuff. You know, men, we need to man up. All right. We need to do the things. And if we would do the things that we need to do, I'll tell you a little story. It ain't going to take much time. My wife was a liberal. OK, she was a she woman, you know, bra burner. You know, I'm woman, hear me roar kind of girl. That's what she was. And she couldn't trust a fella. She had been hurt by different fellas, stuff like that. She wasn't looking for a husband when she found one, right? She was well doing her own thing. She was able to manage her house well, stuff like that. And then God brought me and this messed up boy into her life, right? And she was a godly woman before she knew the Lord, right? And she had a moral rightness about her. Okay, but she wasn't born again when we met. But when she got born again, things changed. Well, what helped her get born again? She saw me walking with God. You know, she said, wow, there's a fella. He's different. He's, amen, different. You're different, all right. Yeah, he's different, you know. He reads his Bible. And he believes what it says. Must be something to this. And then as we got closer together and we ended up getting married, she had a hard time trusting me because, you know, she was a she woman. You know, I'm woman, hear me roar. You know, she was the king of her jungle, right? And then this guy comes along, he's messing up all of her stuff, you know, messing up everything she ever thought was right. And it was hard for her just to come along beside me. And something I used to tell her all the time, I still tell her, I'm going to love you today no matter what it takes. You don't got to love me back, but I'm going to follow the Lord God and I'm going to love you. I'm going to cover you with that love. I'm going to take that mantle of love and just drop it over top of you. And after a while, and it took a couple of little bits, after a while she was able to trust that. You know why she was able to trust that and really come along beside and to be that piece of me that I needed? Is because I followed God with the fullness of my heart. And as I followed the Lord Jesus with all that I was, it made it so easy for her. You see those two magnets that click together real quick? That's when a man's walking right with Jesus Christ and doing that, that woman's going to come along. She's going to stick to him. Boy, it'll work every time. What happens if the man ain't walking with the Lord, then there's that she can't really join up to him. There's that whole, you know, resistance there. Oh, but if he'll turn and he'll turn to Christ, watch how fast it happens. Women, now correct me if I'm wrong. Ain't you looking for a man that loves God? I mean, really and truly, aren't you? Can't you trust a man who really trusts the Lord? Amen, you can. Because, you know, if he's going to love you, if he's going to love God right, he's going to treat you right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Right? Freely giving himself for her. All right? And we men, we need to do that. We need to trust God and walk with God and then allow our wives to come along beside us and help us through the hard spots. This Barak, he wasn't that way. He should have just followed God. But praise God, there was a woman there you know, to come along and remind him that he needed to take out the trash, all right, or whatever. You know, it reminded him that he needed to man up and do the things that a man needs to do. Encouraged him to do the thing that God has called him to do. And men, we need ladies like that in our lives. Amen? Amen. So anyhow, we're going to get into the next part next week. And so praise God. We're going to look at Moab coming against. We're going to see a man raised up by the name of Gideon. And this will be a little bit longer. This is the longest judge or the book in the longest chapter about a man in the book of Judges. And we'll be checking him out in detail next week. And so praise God. Praise God for Deborah, a prophetess. Praise God for all the women that God uses. And men, don't be like Barack. All right. You do what God's called you to do first. Amen. And if you'll do what God's called you to do, then God will work through you. But if you won't stand up, then expect your wife to do those things. You know, even if it ain't right, God's going to use you. Anyhow, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth if I keep on going. And I can feel my flesh coming up. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, that you do raise up godly women. Lord, that you raise up women that will be servants unto the Most High God. Father, I pray that you would raise up men in this day and time, that we would take on the mantle of Christ, that we would take on our responsibilities, Lord, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He tells us, Father, and accomplish your will. Lord, and we just thank you for that. I thank you for the willing vessels that are being used, Lord God, around the world, male and female. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.